what you need right here. Call a friend, phone a friend, and get it together. And most of the people that know me too, they know I'm also kind of spontaneous. I said crazy earlier, but a little spontaneous, a little kind of all over the place. So I called Tamika like, I got a crazy idea. I think we should get a bunch of people together and have this conference about women. Are you down? And of course, she's like, yep, I'm down, right? I had no idea, no plan, no nothing. But I think Tamika was the first person I called to figure out, like, am I just that crazy? Or will people really go for this? And then it just started as a thought and a text message and Quan and Bush, and here we are.
Hey everyone, this is Matt Wagstaff, and welcome to the Live Long and Prosper podcast, where I discuss a number of topics related to living a life of balance, abundance, and happiness. Much of what I share on this podcast is related to personal development, business, and financial literacy. I hope that this podcast is adding a tremendous amount of value to you, your loved ones, the community at large, and I hope that you will share this podcast with as many people as you know that will add value to their lives. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome, ladies, to the Live Long and Prosper podcast. Super excited to have you all here tonight. We are on East Coast time. For anybody listening on the West Coast, it is late on a Sunday night, but we have some energy. I think the ladies have some energy. Super excited about this conversation here with Fortitude Collective. And so let's get this conversation going here. I got a feeling this is going to be one that that goes down in the history books here. We're going to be recording this and listening to this for a little while now, I'm sure. All right. So I have four dynamic women here with a wide range of experiences here. I would love for you all to tell the world who you are as a collective, but individually, please, for those who do not know who you are, please tell the world who you are. And let's just start. Let's start with Miss Jasia.
Good afternoon, evening, late evening, like you just said. Hi, everybody. I'm Jasia Smith, native of Rochester, New York, current resident and thriving in Baltimore, Maryland, attorney, Delta, friend, sister. Crazy lady on some days. But most of all, I like to think that my goal in life is to leave something. The world should be different because I was here. So all the things that I am only add up to what I get to accomplish. So I'm a lot of things, but I just want the world to be better because I was here.
Absolutely.
That was so corny, but it was what it was.
It is what it is, right? UB grad. Whoop, there we go.
UB law grad, Hampton University graduate. Yeah, all those things.
Yes. Love it. All right, let's move down to Miss Taquanda.
Hello, everyone. I'm Taquanda Hill, originally from New Haven, Connecticut. I live in the ATL. I'm an IT professional. I went to Norfolk State University, also a Delta. Mom, wife, sister, you name it, that's me. But most importantly, I'm a servant leader. I love developing and encouraging and motivating women to do their thing, to be their best self. That's me.
Love that. Thank you so much. All right, moving on to Miss Ashley Bush.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ashley Bush. I am also a Rochesterian, but live in the Baltimore, Maryland area. I am an HBCU grad. Shout out to Norfolk State University. I'm also a Delta, made in Rochester, and everybody listed all their sister. I'm not a mama. Don't give me that one. But I am a sister, a friend, a soror. And one of my biggest inspirations is being a generational curse breaker. I've called myself that since I was maybe 17, 18 years old. And I think that that's my drive in life. You know, I have nieces and nephews, and I just want to make sure that I am breaking cycles that need to be broken in my family so that they go on to do and be their best selves. So I think for me, that's my most important title at this point.
Amen. I love that. Live long and prosper. All right. And bringing up the rear here, last but certainly not least, a woman that I know very well, the love of my life.
Oh,
introduce yourself, please, babe.
Hey, I'm Tamika Wagstaff, also known as Dr. Tamika Wagstaff. I am a mom, wife, sister, friend, soror. I'm also a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. I am from Buffalo, New York, but have been living in Rochester for the last 15 years or so, way longer than I ever expected to be. And I like to think of myself as a transformational leader, helping colleges, organizations, students, women, mentoring, just get to the next level in their life, looking at where things need to change and how they can do things differently. And yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. A lot of star power on the line tonight. I appreciate it. The introductions, love it. Love the authenticity. And so we're just going to jump right into the conversation. So we are doing this via Zoom, and Zoom has a new meaning over the last year that it didn't have prior to 2020. And so we are still in a pandemic.
Yes.
Still in a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so, ladies, as with all the different hats that you're wearing, professionally, personally, I would love to hear, and I think folks would want to know, how have you been able to not only survive, but also thrive, if at all, during this COVID-19 pandemic? Anyone can start.
Well, COVID is just the worst thing that ever happened. COVID is a lie. No, but COVID has been very difficult for me. I'm an extroverted person. I like to be around people. I feed off of other folks kind of to keep me going. So COVID honestly threw me for a loop. You know, I'm the strong friend. I'm the one people can depend on. But there were times in COVID where I just felt so outside of myself. So COVID has not been that amazing. But then the other side is there's so many things that have been born out of this, right? I've learned that I love to go hiking, and me and Ashley have been on several hiking adventures together. I have rediscovered wineries because some of those were the only things that were open while we were outside. And then, you know, the Fortitude Collective was born during this time, right? So there's a lot of silver linings to it, but it has been rough. I miss being in church. I know it's so crazy, but like, I literally miss being in the sanctuary. I'm like a Zoom church dropout. It's not perfect for me. I need to be in
Zoom church dropout. Yes. On that one. It's a t-shirt. That might be a t-shirt. Zoom church dropout.
Yeah.
Free game right there. Free game. I can't
even say the last time I've seen a service on Zoom or YouTube or wherever. It's not the same. I'm with you, just here.
Yes. How's everybody else thriving and surviving throughout this pandemic?
It's been crazy for me too. Just, you know, having to transition to being a remote mom, teaching. I like to say, you know, COVID has really forced me to not only get my house in order, but I'm also very optimistic. I've done a lot of great things through this. I've done a lot of personal development. I've tapped into me and became a lot more intentional during this downtime, like really trying to look in, okay, who is Quan and what does Quan want to be? As Jasiah said, the Fortitude Collective was birthed as a part of this. Just as well as just discovering things about me happen to be in this silo moment where I am a social butterfly. Now, I will admit, I haven't followed all the COVID rules. If you check my IG, it looks like I've been all over the world. But for the majority of when we were in lockdown, I did have that time to really digress and, you know, try to get my house in order. I'm constantly moving, you know, so it has been a very self-reflective moment. You know, I've done personal development. I've done a lot of therapy, learned how to invest a lot more. So I think it was a lot of optimism that was birthed for me out of this time. So
for sure. Yeah. Sounds like there's a nice balance there. So just see it started off with it's the devil. It's a lie. But then a lot of the beautiful stuff came out of this. And we're going to talk about the collective as well, definitely in a minute. How about anyone else, Tamika or Ashley?
I think I can piggyback off Quan with the having all of a sudden homeschool your child. That was a lot. That was a big transition. I didn't mind working remotely at all, but it did give me a chance to kind of look inside and have that retrospective time, start working out, being healthier, spending more time with myself, kind of getting more centered in the mornings before the rest of the house got up, having that time to myself. The Fortitude Collective, thankful for that being birthed during this time, birthing another business during this time. Where I never really was interested in being an entrepreneur. I kind of was like, you know, I'm into diversity, equity, and inclusion. I love students and keeping them pushing. But this time gave me, you know, the moment that I needed. I guess you always need that impetus that gives you that, like, okay, now is the time to walk on a different path. And mm-hmm. Quarantine absolutely gave me that. So I'm thankful in some respects for COVID and quarantine, because it totally made me look at things differently and take some different direction in my life.
All right. Yes. And Miss Ashley.
I can say a little bit of what everybody else said too. I think when COVID first hit, I had only been in Baltimore 3 months, 3.5, 4 months maybe. And so it was like, oh, I'm in a new space. Mm-hmm. I'm in a new city. One, I didn't have that much furniture in my apartment. And I was like, man, I got to just be up in here. Like, I just got to stay up here by myself. Like, so for a while, I was contemplating actually going to Jasiah's house and staying with them. And I was like, let me just get it together. And it gave me time, I think, like everybody else said, to kind of course correct, if you will. I know that I had a lot of things that I wanted to do, things I've been talking about for years that I never, you know, actually followed through with. And so I think COVID gave me some time to do that. I agree with Jasiah. It was the devil, you know, and because I lost a lot of people, like both my mom's sister and brother both died during COVID, like 5 weeks apart. And, you know, there were some other losses that you just, you know, funerals, you couldn't go to funerals, you couldn't do any of that. So it was like, you know, taking on those losses and also still trying to keep my own sanity around being, you know, isolated from people. I'm an extroverted introvert. Or vice versa. I'm social. I like being out. I like talking and being around people. And I also like to be alone. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I have a limit and then I'm done and I don't want to talk. So it was like good and bad days during COVID. But like Tamika, I also started a business. Again, something that I've been talking about for 7-8 years. You know, I just started my Curated Creatives business, where I do event and travel planning. And so that's been an interesting ride to take on, along with the Fortitude Collective, along with another business, JBR Property Services. It's just been a lot. Like I pressed the pedal and was going too fast. So now, in the middle of this pandemic, I'm trying to slow back down.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm loving it. First off, my condolences to everybody who may have had any losses throughout this pandemic. It's just been tough. I think I don't know anybody who has not been impacted at least one way with this. And so my condolences go out to everybody who's lost someone throughout this time period. I love the positive mentality, though, that I'm hearing throughout this. And so even in the midst of something that's sort of like once in a lifetime event, it still seems to be some positive that was gained from this experience. And so I truly appreciate, like, hearing those stories. I love it when I hear people taking the opportunity when you have the time to actually slow down to sort of reflect and really start to analyze how you need to move differently, or how you need to maybe even slow down or even take on additional risk. And so I appreciate hearing that. And it definitely gets me excited and optimistic about the future when I hear about all the good stuff that has come out of it. And so even though it was a little dark there, you know, pretty bleak at times, it definitely, I see the sun shining and I see the sunrise there. So I appreciate you for sharing that. 4-2 Collective came out of it. Everybody shared that 4-2 Collective came out of it. The Deltas are in the house. And so, you know, I got my red on for the Deltas, the Devastating Divas, and Delta Sigma Theta Sorority.
That's right.
Incorporated.
That's right.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And so please tell me, like, I get Fortitude, I get Collective. Like, give me a sense of, or give us a sense of, like, why it was created, what is it all about, and what are your plans going forward? So let's just start off with, like, why was it created?
Yeah, go ahead, Jasia.
So I think, you know, I started off saying that COVID was the devil, right? But I think what COVID really was is, like, the manifestation of But God, right? In spite of everything that happened, like, But God, it's still, we're still here to talk about and have this conversation. So I think Fortitude Moment was one of those moments, the Fortitude Collective. It was born out of frustration of, like, having, feeling like as a woman, particularly a woman leader at work, just the amount of scrutiny, the amount of stress, the amount of, like, hurdles and things we have to overcome. But then realizing everything I need is right here in my girl circle. Everything I need, all the encouragement I need is here. The wisdom I need is here. The resources I need is here. So it was just me thinking, like, why am I tripping? It's all right here. Like, if I call a couple friends, I'm sure I can get anything that I need. So I think Tamika was the first person I called, like, hey, I got this weird idea. Because it came from me needing to be like propped up. Like, I'm having a bad day at work. Like, who do we call to get our cup refilled so we can go back tomorrow and lead and transform our spaces? So then I was like having a girl get yourself together moment. Like, wait a minute now, you got what you need right here. Call a friend, phone a friend and get it together. And most of the people that know me too, they know I'm also kind of spontaneous. I said crazy earlier, but a little spontaneous, a little kind of all over the place. So I called Tamika, like, I got a crazy idea. I think we should get a bunch of people together and have this conference about women. Are you down? And of course she's like, yep, I'm down, right? I had no idea, no plan, no nothing. But I think Tamika was the first person I called to figure out, like, am I just that crazy? Or will people really go for this? And then it just started as a thought and a text message and Quan and Bush, and here we are.
Yes, yeah. So it started as a conference idea, sort of like to bring women together, like an empowerment sort of.
Yeah.
Collective support for powerful women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just to realize your power. It sounds like there was a time to see it where you forgot who you were. You was like, you know, I forgot how dope I really am in this moment, right? I need to recognize all my dopeness real quick. Let me call my homegirl up and make sure.
Because it really is. You are, you know, you got to think of the time. We're in the middle of COVID. The racial unrest is happening. Yeah. And we sit at the leadership table at most of our organizations, right? So the heaviness that I was feeling in that moment, yeah. And at the same time, you being characterized as the angry Black leader or the angry Black woman, or she's so aggressive, she's so this. And it's like, don't y'all know I'm fighting this battle with y'all, like, at the front line? Like, I'm out here, like, going crazy to make sure the needs of our organization are met. And, you know, sometimes it's a thankless job, but just, I think it came out of a moment of vulnerability and then really checking myself, like, nah, you really are bugging, man. Everything you got is here. And if you don't, you can phone a friend. If you're in a meeting and you don't know the answer, you can text your line just under the table and be like, girl, you ever heard this word? What does it mean? What they asking me for? So it's always right here. And I think that we just need a space where we can be vulnerable, a space where we can reaffirm ourselves that we're not crazy. Like, our experiences are, we are experiencing what we're experiencing. But more importantly, like, we have it. Everything that we need to be successful, to navigate, to balance, we have it. And every once in a while, we got to get together and let our crown get readjusted. We got to let everybody shine off our stones to let us know we still have it. And, you know, finding the right people to connect with, like the lovely ladies on this call, is just because we all bring something different. And I think during conference planning, we realized we all got different strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. I love that. So Tamika, when you got that phone call from Jasia, like, what was the feeling like? Like, what was going through your mind? Like, what the heck is this? What's she talking about?
No.
What was that?
I immediately was like, of course. Yeah, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Because I totally understood where she was coming from. I know sometimes we miss each other, but a lot of times 7 o'clock in the morning on my way to work or whatever the case may be, I'm checking in like, listen, this is what's going on. This is what I'm doing. Can you give me some feedback on this? And really at the end of the day, that's what we need as women, especially women of color. You need to have that place that you can plug into, where you can recharge, where you can know that you're not the only person going through this, because each of us in our own kind of professional walk have experienced many of the same things. And as we talked, as we conference planned, that's where we ended up. And an opportunity for women to come to a table and have conversations about their shared experiences and to walk away from it, having learned something, having gotten something that you can use to go to the next level, to take the next step, that you can hold on to know I'm not alone in this. This is not just me. So it's like, no matter how many degrees you have, no matter how much experience you have, especially as a Black woman in any kind of leadership position, you're going to have issues. There's going to be barriers that are going to be there. There are going to be people who don't believe in you. There are going to be people who are going to give you a hard time. And you have to have people that are going to pour into you, that are going to say, regardless of all of that, you still bomb. You still know what you're doing. You still bringing all of this to the table. You're still great. You still a queen. We still love you.
Yeah.
And so that's what we were trying to create, that feeling, that opportunity for other women to have.
I love it. And it sounds like it was very successful. I hear nothing but great things from anybody who I come across who have been a part of that process and that in the program. And so Quan, in terms of you being brought onto the table here, you know, what do you recall from the planning experience and what value has it brought to you, you know, working with your sisters here?
I think for me, it was just like when Josiah called, I was all in. And I think it was just almost like divine alignment because, like she said, you know, with everything that was going on with the civil unrest, being a leader in corporate America, Black women always trying to prove yourself. And I think even in our planning and our strategizing, we even together had to learn how to, you know, work within each other. And I think collectively, we all brought our strengths. Of course, we had our little war battles, but I think if more women was to do that and bring it, it'll help us. I'm like, statistically, when Tamika did send over the questions, because they're in my text message, I did my research.
this was what's happening when we were planning.
And I just started looking up because, you know, I'm doing a lot of stuff in other areas that I'm working on. And it just showed like just some statistics that said, you know, we think, you know, and to mention that we were in the middle of a monumental moment with Kamala Harris going through her presidency. So it was just so much alignment. But in that, just looking at, okay, glass ceiling, we're making a lot of strides, but we still see that, you know, we're Black women are the most underrepresented group across, you know, leadership. And we're also making strides in education. We're making strides in business ownership, but we're not breaking that glass. So I just think for me, and my passion, I think Ashley hit on it before, first generation, generational curses. I just think that we all, I don't know if it was just divine alignment, I don't know, but it just, God brought us together, tapped into us at the most pivotal time. And, you know, I think we're on the journey of birthing something great. So for me, it was a no-brainer. When she called, it was where I was mentally anyway.
Excellent. You know, God's timing is everything for sure. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that was a great segue, Quan, into what I wanted to ask Ashley. And so in terms of breaking generational curses, you know, how do you feel that the Fortitude Collective is allowing you to, you know, fulfill your mission of breaking generational curses?
So for me, I just want to say real quick that I was brought on to this thing that had no name as a speaker. I was brought onto this conference to be a speaker,
not to be
a co-founder of anything.
You in here
now.
Now she's all in.
Now here yes. I am. And honestly, I think that speaks to my journey in life in general. Like, I'm not always in spaces where I'm at tables and, you know, I think about our conference name, I brought my chair. I may not always be at the leadership table at the spaces that I'm in, but be brought there that way. But somehow I always end up in those spaces. Mm. And so for me, I think coming on to the conference and then onto the Fortitude Collective just helps me to speak to, you know, be prepared, right? Like in your life journey, you might think it's going one way, and it's going to go another way. And you just have to be prepared, roll with the punches, and just having that flexibility to grow, to want to grow. I think is helping me to show, I talked about my nieces earlier, but I also am very passionate about working with young Black girls and women in general. And so this, I think, is just another step in that direction. The conference was amazing. We had, you know, different generations on the call. It was bigger than we thought. We thought it would be really small, and it was bigger than we thought. And so I think in just all of those little things, it's just inching me forward. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, and the conference. So I want to hear more about the conference, just a little bit more about the conference. And so for anybody who was not a part of that conference, can someone tell me or tell us a little bit about some of the nuggets that were shared? We don't need to go too deep today, but just some of the nuggets that folks got out of the conference.
Sure. Okay. So I'll say as a speaker, I think what I wanted the people that were in my session to get out of the conference was that it's okay to have to change. It's okay to pivot. It's okay to take a leap of faith, which is my line name, by the way. But I live by that. So it's okay to take a leap of faith. It's okay to be scared. My title, and Lord knows I can't really remember all of it right now, was, you know, basically it's okay to walk in faith and also have take those journeys, still take those steps. And so I wanted people to get out of that. You know, a lot of times we say we can't do stuff because we got kids or because we got bills or because nobody in my family did it before me and I don't know the steps to get where I want to go. And all of that kind of leaves us stuck where we are. And it's scary. And, you know, the unknown is scary. And sometimes you are fearful of change and new beginnings, but it's okay to have fear as long as you are also, you know, walking in faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, do them both. And so I think that was what I wanted people to get out of the conference. And I, from the responses and, you know, feedback, I think that many people did.
Definitely.
I'll say one other nugget that was pretty consistent too, was just owning your space. As Black women, we have to own our space and show up. Like Ashley just said, show up, be prepared. If you're the only one in the room, you deserve to be there. Don't question it. Be there, show up, be prepared, and own that space when you get in that room.
Definitely. Yeah, I love that. I want to actually go back to that in a little bit in a second. But Jasiah, as the sort of like the mother of the group here in terms of you creating this event, not physically, but just in the event per se, you know, how did the actual conference, how did it materialize in terms of you realizing that vision that you had? You know, what was your feeling at the end of it?
So at the end of it, like, I think I described it, like, my heart was full. I think like when there's some, to actually like see an idea actually come into a thing. So for me, it was very humbling. And then it reaffirmed what I already know is that there is a space for this. There's a need for this. And though we're just really in our infancy stage, we don't know exactly what this collective will be birthed into. The fact that we were able to get over 100 women from across the country, from different demographics, to get on the call and stay on the call and have the opportunity to share information, but to leave like reaffirmed, it just reinforced to me that we get these ideas sometimes, we think they're just like a fleeting idea, and you know, you get an idea and you don't run with it. I've been trying to be much more intentional and acknowledge those ideas, or if I get a feeling like, oh, I didn't talk to Tamika, like, call her today. I think a lot of time, you know, God is birthing things in us and we're just missing it, and he's nudging us to where he really wants us to go. And I think that's, you know, all of us. We hear these little things and we ignore it, or we put it down, or we get too busy. And, you know, COVID is probably the space where he wanted to be like, hey, everybody, wake up. That stuff I've been whispering to you ain't gonna be no better time than now. So for me, I felt very proud. I mean, my aunts, my cousins, my line sisters, and just having people and women that have poured into my life, like, actually say how proud they were of us and like what we were able to accomplish. And I really felt like lifted up. It felt like how I feel when I go to like a Delta convention. Like, I'm just in the room and the spirit is there, and I feel like now I can go conquer the world. So it's like trying to recreate those spaces for other women who may not have a community of women, right? I think we assume everybody has strong aunties and good girlfriends, right? But there are a lot of women who are navigating life alone. So So making these spaces mm-hmm. available to them, in a space that they know they can come to and in the future come to with some regularity as the collective becomes more formalized, I think it's gonna be great. And you know, the goal is that we'll just have a collective of women across the globe who are just being their best selves, and they're showing up, their crowns are all cleared off, they had their chair on their back, and they are ready to kind of take the world by storm.
Absolutely, yes. So vision realized, still more to come, loving it, love that, absolutely. And so Tamika, with you being in the D&I space, birthing a new business in D&I throughout this whole process, going through all the turmoil we got going on in the country, racial inequity continuing to exist, and then you bring together all these dynamic women together for this this beautiful experience here. You know, what was going through your heart and your mind as you were going through this process, and how did it materialize for you?
Yeah, I think I would say my heart was full too. And I think walking away from it, I have some of the women who I have kept in contact with or who reached out to me, and they were like, can we, you know, you work in higher ed, can we talk to you? This is what I want to do. This is my dream. These are my professional goals. And having the opportunity to talk to them and walk them through those steps, my experience and how that can help them and what they should be doing and need to be doing. I think that's really what it's all about. Mentoring is so important to me, and just being able to kind of reach behind you and pull someone forward or pull them alongside you, I think is huge. And it's one of the biggest things that I think I got out of the conference itself, those connections with other women that I probably otherwise would have never met, our paths never would have crossed. They may be connected to someone, you know, someone else here in this Zoom, or they may have just known somebody and came, but now I have a connection to them. And I think that's what's really important, is finding other women that you can pour into, because so many women have poured into you.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. It's just sort of like paying it forward, paying it back, right? The whole nine yards, front and mm-hmm. back. And so Quan, you mentioned something that sort of piggybacked off of Ashley in terms of showing up. And so as four dynamic Black women here, professional Black women here who are in that corporate space, I would love for you all to share just one example of how you try to show up, not just try, but how do you show up on a weekly basis when you're in those spaces, those corporate spaces. So I'll start with you, Quan.
Continuously learning, being coachable, and just, you know, acknowledging what the value that I bring when I am in that room. Mm-hmm. I think to me, that's sort of my toolkit, is when I show up, you know, I'm always willing to learn. Sometimes I might be in the room just to listen, but sometimes I might be in the room to deliver value, knowing my space when I'm in there as well. So I think that's pretty much how I show up.
Yeah, that's great. And what have you seen that do for you?
Actually, I'm in a space, I'll say this year, I mean, with all that's going on, I'm very humble to say that my career professionally is catapulting. You know, I've been tapped to do and lead some things that I never thought I would lead. I no longer fight to get in the door. I walk through with no problem. I'm there, and I'm a critical decision maker and a valuable part of my organization. And I feel that now. I didn't always feel that. But I think through those lessons and being coachable, listening, knowing how to present yourself in the room, and the mentors, and you know, the giving back and all of that has really aligned me well. So I'm humble when I say it, but I'm very fortunate, and I'm at a very pivotal point in my career right now, which is very rewarding.
That's excellent. That's beautiful. And so not only you don't have to bring your chair anymore, your chair is already there. It got your name on it. Got everything. They're ready for you. I love that.
Right now I'm trying to bring an army with me. That's my goal.
More chairs.
I want to see more of me in that room. That's beautiful. My goal.
That's beautiful. That's excellent. All right, Miss Ashley, how are you showing up on a weekly basis in these professional spaces?
I try to show up and do what I say I'm going to do. Mm. I think that's the thing for me. I think I am a reliable person. I show up and I'm authentic, and I try to always bring the experiences that I have, that I've had. I've had so many, you know, different positions and different things that I've done. And I always try to show up with that. you know, with me, but also doing what I say I'm going to do. I'm a deadlines person. So whether I get it done 5 minutes before it's due or 5 days before it's due, like, I live by deadlines. So I like to, you know, make sure that this is what you need, or this is what I'm promising you, then this is when you're going to get it. And so I just keep my word. I mean, throwback, you know, word is bond, and I keep that. I keep that with me. So that's how I try to show up.
That's excellent. So people can depend on you. They count on you. You know, we can have all the ideas in the world, but if we can't execute, then what's the point?
Hello. Right? Mm-hmm. See, Matt, you understand. That's all exactly day. How I was feeling.
Twice on Sunday.
Listen.
I understand. Yes. Everybody has an idea, but very few know how to execute. And so you just say that you are on timelines and you're about that deadline, hitting that deadline. I love that. That's beautiful. All right, Miss Jasia, how are you showing up?
Well, you know, I think my leadership journey is that, like Quan, I have a chair. They're my name on it. They know I'm coming. But to also recognize the power of my voice and the ability to shift the atmosphere, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you are unaware of how you can move a room.
Yeah.
As I have grown in leadership, I fully understand how I can move a room. So there are rooms that I'm placed in where people are not acquainted with Jasia T. Smith Esquire. So they quickly have to get acquainted that one, if I'm at a table, I came there to lend my opinion, right? I'm not the person you invite to a meeting just to say you had her here. I got an opinion about everything. And I use my power to challenge the status quo, right? As we were talking about racial unrest and things that are happening, there are systems in place that perpetuate these inequities, right? So one of the things that I pride myself on is that I'm shaking the boat. Where I see inequity existing, I'm calling it out. We're not gonna tiptoe around it. We're really gonna talk about it. Y'all probably gonna feel uncomfortable. And I said what I said. Mm-hmm. So that's typically, so now I'm in a space in my leadership journey where I feel much more fearless. Like, you know, I understand that some decisions I can make can cost me my job, but I'm okay with that, right? Like, mm-hmm. there used to be a space where you're trying to get to where you're going, so you just want to get there and you don't want to, like, it's so serious for me that sometimes I go into meetings knowing that this might be the one where I stepped over the line, I don't, you know, barked up the wrong tree, but being fully owning that, right? Only because I feel like to whom much is given, much is required. And the higher I get, the more that burden of that, like, it rests on me. So I feel like I have to make good trouble. Like, I really am. I am a troublemaker. I'm a certain type of Black woman, a certain type of Black leader. And I'm okay with that now. Before, I used to be like, you know, you want to kind of tuck it away to let people feel uncomfortable. You're going to have to get real uncomfortable dealing with me. Get real, real uncomfortable shifting your chair, because I'm okay with me. And it took took a long time to be here and to realize that good, better, and different, I'm okay with me. And I add value to the spaces that I come in. Now, I'm not all that follow through detail. There's usually people around me who help me with that part. But when it comes to, like, you know, that's me being honest, right? I learned from this experience I don't need, there's a lot of stuff that I don't really get into. But it is understanding the power of your voice and making sure when you have the chance to express it, that at all costs you are challenging things that don't feel good. And that now more than ever, we gotta speak up for what's right, even if you're the only one in the room, right? Even if your boss is there too and they don't agree with you, like, finding a nice professional way to be like, I think y'all got this one wrong. Mm-hmm. Have we considered, you know, the X, Y, and Z? So it's like being very skilled at communicating and trying to be respectful of positional power, while also knowing that I have intrinsic, like, God-given power. And hey, my father is the owner of it all. So you might as well, you're going to get this.
Yes.
In every place I go.
Yes.
You say, be authentic on the podcast.
No, I love that freedom. Yes, I mean,
man, we just had this conversation last night. This is nuggets that Jasia was giving me last night. So, yeah.
That's what it's all about. You know, I think most people in this world, if not all people in this world, want the level of freedom where they can be themselves, where they can be able to speak truth as much as they feel that it is true in the situation that they're in. And so everything that you shared this year, it resonates with me 100% as much as possible. And I'm super curious about, like, what is that ability to be free? Like, what has that done for you? And how has that helped to serve you, that freedom that you have now?
Yeah. I think it's knowing who you are and knowing whose you are, without getting too spiritual, but it's like knowing who you are, knowing whose you are, and knowing that ultimately, no matter what, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be all good. It's all gonna work out the way it's supposed to. So I think sometimes we are so bound by fear. What if they don't like me? What if they think I'm too ghetto? What if they think I got braids in my hair? What if none of it mattered and they actually listened to what you had to say and they implemented what your suggestion, right? So for me, it's like just realizing that, and maybe it comes with age, but all the stuff you used to worry about, it ain't worth worrying about now. Like, you go in, you give your best effort, you show up with your best self and let the chips fall where they may. And because if you're doing good, it's going to work out, right? It may not always look the way it's supposed to, but if you are doing good, it all, the universe will respond to that. So it's just like knowing that it's not about your own effort. I think a lot of times you think, if I try real hard and I work real hard, it'll all come through. It's like, that's some of it. You gotta put your work behind the faith, but it's all going to work out. So I think once that is in COVID, because through this time, you know, God has kept me and my family, right? I had COVID, I survived it. My mom had it, my aunt, like I have gone through everything. I got hit by a bus, right? So when I say I know
her
that
car, her car, Jesus.
And her car got hit by a bus.
She was in the car, but not her body.
Yes.
But yes. Nonetheless, it was a bus,
Jesus.
It was
all
a
right.
bus.
All right, yeah. All right, okay, all right. Glad but, we got that cleared
knowing
up.
Knowing that there's something here for me and I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm gonna keep going till I get it. So it's like a sense of urgency of knowing that there's greatness to be had, and I want it so bad, right? I'm like, give it to me. But we're experiencing it right now in these small doses, right? And I think sometimes, like, we're even trying to be financially sound and to get placed in our career, like, we forget we are living the moments we pray for right now. Like, we're existing things that we have worked our lives to get. So you got to, like, enjoy the moment, trust that this is not the best moment yet, the more great moments are coming, but then to do your part to make sure you're not wasting your time here. If a space is not better because you were there, why did you go?
That's one. That's one to write down. That's one to write down, everybody. That write that down. Write that down. That's add value. Bad. Add value. It's so, Tamika, how are you showing up in these spaces? So I know how you're showing up in these spaces, but I think the world needs to know how you're showing up in these spaces.
I think this is a prime example of why Jessie is my line sister. Because I think we both have learned so much from each other over the last 13 years. Mm-hmm. I look at it as I'm blessed to have the opportunity to show up as my authentic self when I walk into spaces, when I walk into rooms, when I do the work that I do. So when I go to work at RIT, at this point in my career, people know who I am. They know what I'm bringing into the space. They know that I want to hear what they have to say, but I'm going to say what I need to say. If I disagree, I'm going to say I disagree. If I have an idea that I think might be more beneficial, I'm going to put that idea on the table. They also know that first and foremost, I'm there for the students. So anything that's going to support the students, anything that I need to do to stand with them, I'm going to do it. So even through this pandemic, as we're looking at the pandemic within the pandemic, as we're looking at Black Lives Matter, as we're looking at all the loss that our Black and Brown students are experiencing in their communities, right? My job is to stand with them. My job is to be a voice for them. Some people like that, some people don't, and I'm okay with it. So I'm at a point in my career where I'm comfortable in who I am. I know what I bring to the table, and I know nobody can take that away from me. Nobody can discredit who I am. I've gone to school. I got the degrees. I have the experience. And most of the time, I'm bringing more to the table than many of my other counterparts are, whether they look like me or don't. And I feel secure in that. And I think that's how I'm walking into rooms. That's how I'm walking into spaces. Like, this is who I am. I know what I bring. And whether you like it or not, I'm at this table. Mm-hmm. My chair is on my back. It's either at the table. It might not be a chair. I might just be standing there. But I'm going to say what I need to say. My voice is going to be heard. I'm here. I'm in the room. I'm in the room where it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are a Hamilton fan, you know, people are like, I want to be in the room where it happens. I'm in the room where it happens. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make sure when I'm in that room that I'm speaking up for all the other people who don't have the opportunity to be there just yet. Yeah. So what I'm saying, I'm hoping, is clearing space for others to come behind me and to have that space at the table to be able to speak up. So the next generation of leaders, of Black and Brown women who are coming into the same rooms that we're all already in, they have a better defined seat at the table. They don't have to fight for that seat the same way all of us have, the same experiences we've had, the same challenges, barriers, difficult conversations that we've had to have to kind of prove that we're supposed to be in this room and we're supposed to have the seat. So that's really how I'm showing up as my authentic Tamika, with my locks, with my nose ring, with my tattoos. That's just who I am. And you can like it or not, but I'm still here.
What's not to love, you know? I'm sorry.
Sounds like some bias on
look.
Right.
Just a smidge. But you know, I'm curious now. I'm gonna throw a little curveball in here for you ladies, because we talked about a lot of the support and the advocacy of women supporting women, but I am super curious about how men have impacted your professional life and been an advocate for you up to this point.
Well, I will say I have my former actual supervisor, the person who was the vice president for diversity and inclusion at RIT, has been a great mentor and continues to be a great mentor for me. He actually is one of the people who pushed me outside of my comfort zone, pushed me to really show up as my true authentic self and to not be afraid to do that and to speak up. So I would say he has, and he speaks my name in rooms where I'm not there, which has been a great benefit to me in my career. And my current supervisor, who is also a Black male, is the same way. He's a mentor, he's very supportive. When I say to him, you know, most people don't have a supervisor where you can say, it's time for me to look for the next thing. And they're okay with that, or they're not intimidated by that. Mm-hmm. Or when you say, I really think I could probably be doing your job, maybe someplace else, but I think I'm ready. I'm prepared for that. And for them to support you in looking at how you make that happen. And he's doing that and is comfortable doing that. So I would say those two Black men in my professional career have been very supportive. They continue to be mentors for me and continue to help me find different paths and different ways that I can get to whatever the next thing is for me in my professional career.
Absolutely. Who else?
I would say men too. I've had two forms of a mentor that were both men. One white man, I will say that he challenged the heck out of me. He critiqued everything I did. But when I tell you that man stretched me in my career, to the point where, you know, if I show up at a meeting, I know what to do, what not to do, because he stretched me and that opportunity helped to shape my career. And then my current boss, who's also a male as well, I mean, like Tamika said, he's always mentioning me in rooms I'm not in. My nickname is GST, Quan, she gets shit done. Period. He'll tell anyone that.
Yeah.
He'll tell her, dial that. Yeah. If you can't get it done, ask Quan, she will get it done for you. So I would say for me and my career, it has been men that helped, you know, shape and mold my career.
Let me go before Jasiah, because she gonna end us on a high note. I have not had good experiences with male leadership. I've had several male supervisors. The job that I had before this one actually was a Black male supervisor. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm outspoken in 85% of the areas of my life. And I think that I'm intimidating to the male supervisors that I've had. I have a problem with working for people that I think I can do better than they can, especially when it's a situation where we're talking about we're helping kids. I've worked in service basically all my life, nonprofit life, and I know many on this call have as well, so kind of know about that nonprofit space. But so I get really passionate when I'm like, oh, we're doing something for our people, my people, and it's not right. And so I speak out on that. And I think the male supervisors that I have had don't agree with that approach. They don't like it. They, you know, I've had many of come to Jesus conversations with male supervisors, and even had a supervisor. I mean, when I lived overseas, my supervisor, Korean, I lived in Korea. Sorry for many who don't know that. And my supervisor in Korea was a male, and we would like have blowouts in the middle of a staff meeting, and he'd be crying, like literal tears. And it's like, for no reason.
You make your supervisor cry now?
Listen, literal tears. It's just, I just had bad experiences. And, you know, fortunately, I was able to turn that situation around. We ended up being really close. I sung at his wedding, all kind of things. But it's that initial, like, I know who I am. And this is the space that, you know, I know how to own this space. And if it's wrong to me, it's wrong. And I feel like I want to be able to address that. It with the male supervisors I've had, it has not been a pleasant experience.
Yeah. So outside of supervisors, counterparts, family, uncles, grandpa, whoever. I mean,
I've had no male
advocates in your life ever?
No. So outside of supervisors, yes, I've had several males in my life who have influenced me, from uncles to my granddad, to a lot of the guys that I met in college or that I call my brothers, who have held me down, looked out for me. I think to when I lived overseas, I had a group of Qs and they were like our uncles and they held us down. Anything we needed, you know, anything that we had issues with, whatever it was, like they really put a protective bubble around. It was like 8 women, Black women teachers, and they just really held us down. So there have been many men in my life who have guided me in the direction that I needed to be, who have inspired me, who have held me down when I needed it. And so yes, there have been males in my life. I don't want nobody to think that, I'm saying all men ain't worth nothing. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the experiences I've had in the working environment with men have not been the greatest.
About to put you on an interview with Kevin Samuels around here.
Listen, Kevin, you have me on the internet looking crazy because we've been going there.
All right, Mr. Sia, go ahead.
Now here's the funny thing, right? I know you said professionally, but the person that I want to kind of prop up for that comes to my mind is my father. And the interesting thing about that is I come from a divorced household. And so I didn't grow up with my father inside my home. And we've had a very complex relationship over the years. But it's so funny how people pour into you. You don't really recognize it in the moment. But my dad is a very boisterous character. He is very confident. He's the type of person when people speak, when he's speaking, everybody stops, right? So there's times that I see myself in my career that I emulate that. Like the charisma that he has and the confidence. And it could not always be like confidence that you should have, right? Like you would think he's 17 feet tall. He about 5'11", 5'10", right? But just his presence, and he owns it, right? So that's something that unknowingly, like I see myself now that I'm so much like him. And the things that I gathered from him as a young girl, right? They are highlighted now in my life. And it's like, you know, we recently had a conversation. I was trying to describe to him that, how do I display my gratefulness for him? Like, how do I let him know that he is as important in making Jasiya as my mother is, right? Because men need to be acknowledged too, right? And there are times where we are building up our mothers and our aunts that often dads get overlooked, right? So I'm telling him that, like, no, like, so much of who I am is because of who you are, right? And there's times where we have to take those spaces to say, hey, I am my dad's daughter. And then when people start to question me, he always says, you J.D. Smith Jr.'s daughter. Like, so I kind of like put my chest up like, yeah, who are these people this man talking to? I'm J.D. Smith Jr.'s daughter. Like, they better rethink it. So it is those things that you don't kind of realize it until you're like old enough to kind of like sit back and think like, he is the most influential man in my life. My new boss is amazing. We are a great team. We're the A team. We're doing amazing things in our city. But like, it's like those early interactions of like people who pour into you that now, like the seeds that were planted back in the 80s, they're sprouting them. Like he was bearing the fruit of like, you can do it because I'm your daddy. So I got my earthly father and I got my heavenly father who like, girl, you got this. So yeah, that's my person.
You cover, girl. You cover.
Shout out to J.D. Smith Jr.
Shout out to Pops. Go ahead. Look what you done there, man. All right, cool. Well, I want to add one more thing in here. I want to ask some other question before we wrap up and talk about what's next for the 4-2 Collective. This is Financial Literacy Month. This podcast, we touch on financial literacy. And so, money is, I didn't make up this rule, but money actually makes a lot of things move in this world, especially in the United States of America. And mm-hmm. so as Black people, they say people of color a lot around here. I just say, as Black people, we just kind of need to figure this financial thing out as best we can, as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone who's in economic stress right now needs to figure this thing out as soon as possible. And so I try to just get insight and perspective from as many people as possible about the topic of financial literacy, financial education, what sort of habits even struggles that you may be going through right now related to financial literacy that you're comfortable sharing, that others who are coming up or maybe older than you should consider or pay attention to. So you can either share a habit that you sort of do on a weekly, monthly basis in terms of financial literacy. You can define financial literacy based on what you think it is to you. Or you can share a challenge that you're working through at this moment. You know, just take this opportunity to kind of just be vulnerable in that space. But whatever it is that comes to you and resonates with you, I would love to hear it. So I'll start with you, Quan.
Hey, a habit that I do, and just recently, my best friend, she got me hooked to the morning brew. As I mentioned earlier, I did start a little bit of investing during this COVID period. But I'll say for me, financial literacy has really just been trial and error. You know, we've had some low days. but I think for me, the biggest thing that I've learned about financial literacy is really simple. Talk about it. As Black people, we don't talk about money. So I've been more intentional with, especially with my close girlfriends and, you know, family members and my husband, like we talk about it. We talk about, you know, how we didn't know much about credit. Now that we're learning, you know, I'm honest about, you know, stocks. I really just didn't get it until, you know, someone had to break it down for me. You know, I'll say I'm still stock 101 for dummies right now, but I'm learning. I opened a Robinhood account. You know, I've been investing. I invested in the Moderna, the Pfizer. So y'all
buy GameStop. You bought GameStop.
Yeah, I know, right?
I was a little too late on GameStop, but I did Moderna.
Don't do it. That was a joke.
I did all of them. And I will say, like, that was, I learned during, I guess, a pandemic. That's when you really pay attention to the market and, you know, everything fall and you start buying. And I made some money, y'all, during this COVID thing. So that was, you know, just being totally honest, you know, coming from a family, you know, we came from nothing. You know, I'm first generation, first one with a degree, all of that. We didn't talk about it. So now I'm being more intentional. And I will say, you know, my son today, I took him out to dinner and we were talking about school because we're trying to get this GPA right to get him in college. And he was like, I think I'm about to start day trading. I felt so good that he said that because him and his friends are talking about trading. And I'm like, well, maybe there is a bub that's going. Now, I don't know, you know, how much,
me.
But.
Have him give me a call. We might have to have a chat real quick. Before you just jump off the bridge with day trading. Quick.
Yeah, he was like, "Mama, set up a Robinhood account." I was just proud because I'm like, at 17, I knew nothing about that, nothing. So yeah. I would just say for me, it's been trial and error. But my nugget that I'll give the Black community is, let's get vulnerable enough to start talking about it, so that we can connect each other to who we need to connect to get that 750 credit score. To, you know, let's stop doing this as the secret thing. You know, in the Black community, let's talk about it and get our credits right and get our houses in order. I think it's important.
Thank you, Quan. I love that. And I love that. What came to my mind was how Charlemagne kind of like broke the stigma of, mental health and getting therapy. And so we can break the stigma of, like, it's always like this measuring contest of money. Like, who make them, who cares? Like, at the end of the day, like, I don't, like, your money, my money, whatever. Like, let's just all grow together. But I love the fact that you kind of broke that down and says, like, let's just get over the stigma of talking about money. Thank you for sharing that. That really means a lot. Who's next want to share their sort of their thoughts on financial literacy?
Here's mine. It'll be brief. We have to plan now for later, right? So My mom, again, I'm from a single parent household. She's into her career as a nurse 2 years ago, and seeing her in retirement and realizing that if you don't plan for it, it'll be here faster than you know it. So I have a classmate of mine, Mr. Kingsley Dugan, shout out to the Theo group. My finance guy has been trying to get me to pay attention and be on board for a solid 6 or 7 years now. And I know he probably thinks I'm like a finance guy dropout, like I only listen to some of the things. But like through his help, when it was time to buy my house, I had the money to do it because I may not always answer his calls. I may not always do all my assignments that he gives me, right? But the things of like putting money away so if it happens, you'll be ready. So like I hear him in my mind, like when I'm at work and it's time to do like your 401k, how much are you going to contribute to your, like, I'm like, okay, I got to think about later. We always think we have time. So, and I struggle between thinking that YOLO, we might die tomorrow. And then, hey, I might live till I'm 90. So I think it is just having a plan. And even if you don't think you're making big strides to it, every little bit counts, right? Mm-hmm. So it is like Quan said, being able to talk about it, being open and vulnerable. Cause like, I don't want everybody to know my business, how much money I only got in my checking account, $329. Like that don't matter, right? If you take 29 of that 329 and you always put $29 in, 5 years from now, you'll look back and there'll be something there. And for me, it was like, he had me on this savings plan that I was just like, this is so stupid. Like, this is not gonna do that much. But when it was time for my down payment for my house, it was like, oh, I got that right there. Like, that's all I need. I have that. So it's like being okay to plan and not feel intimidated. Like you gotta have so much to start. It could start with $50. Mm. and you just gotta be able to stay consistent and plan, because what I don't want for the next generation is like our parents. They didn't have the luxury to plan, right? They just went to work and provided for us. And now, you know, they'll live for 40 more years and they're trying to figure it out on pensions from companies who didn't care about them and Social Security that don't want you to live the lifestyle you used to. So it's like, I want to be in a position that when I retire, and I'm chilling because I live good while I'm working. I'm trying to be out in Bora Bora, you know, Central. Hey, when I retire.
Yes. Your future self will say thank you.
Yes.
Thank you,
Lucia. Plan for it. That's what it is. You got to plan for it.
Plan for it. I appreciate that. That's great.
I echo Jasia. That was going to be my thing too. Like, instant gratification is real, you know, but delayed gratification is extremely important. So I get, like Quan said, I come from first gen everything, for real, for real. And, you know, my mom and my grandmother didn't save up like that. So my grandmother lives off of her, you know, retirement that she actually had to fight really, really hard to even receive. And then, you know, my mom is, although, you know, people like to jokingly say she's the mayor of Rochester, she is in her 60s and still working so hard. Shout out to Jackie Dozier. Like, whether it is, you know, because she loves it or not, I just think about that. Like, I don't want to work that hard, you know, till the end, whatever the end is. Like, I don't want to do that. And so for me, and it's hard because you don't grow up around people who know about financial freedom and who know how to practice saving money and not whether it's a rainy day fund or like saving for the future. Mm-hmm. I don't come from that. And so some years I get it right. And some years I'm like, oh, I spent all this money and I got all these clothes and I can't even fit none of them. Like, it's hard. So I go on spending freezes where I'm like, okay, for 4 months, I'm not buying anything, right? And I pay off some debt. And then the next 4 months, it's like, I bought everything. And now I'm back in the debt that I was, you know, in 8 months ago. So I think it's a constant battle for me just trying to unlearn what I've learned about money and how it works and how we should make it work for us. But I'm trying, and, you know, I'm learning and I'm asking questions and I'm gonna hit up Quan at some point because I still don't know about stocks. Even though I got a Robinhood, an Acorn, I got all the accounts. I have no idea what's happening in them, but I got them. So, you know, I'm gonna reach back to my Fortitude Collective and try to figure some things out.
Use your network, girl. Let your network work for you, girl.
Network, like the wax, like, you guys are a couple that I'm like, you know, as I'm waiting for marriage in my own life, figuring out like, okay, look, I see how you all move and you all work together as a unit, particularly financially. Quan and Corey, like the same thing, Quan and her husband. It's like, your circle and how they and their spending habits and their savings and what they talk about, it matters, right? So, you know, it's just the circle that you keep and like getting around people who are going to grow you. Like, yes, Matt, you've been an entrepreneur since I've known you. And now you rubbed up on Tamika. Now she's a, like, it's like, you got to keep the right people into you and around you, because if your best friend got an 800 credit score, you going to want to be, if I'm like, because I'm telling you about mine. When, listen, Matt, when it hit 800, I text everybody in my family, like, do y'all see this? And I'm like, everybody, yeah, I got
an 800. Ask about it.
Right.
And it's, you know, it becomes a thing and it becomes attainable for everybody. So I think you got to keep your good circle, because y'all like my financial goal. Yeah, I'll be watching y'all. I'll be keeping count over here in the Falcon household. I want to be like y'all when I grow up.
Yes. Iron sharpens iron with the ladies. Yes, I love it.
Yes, it does.
What about you, Tamika?
I'm trying to stop being a hoarder of money, I guess. I like to save. So to me, when I look at my account, or like my savings account, I'm like, it has to have X amount of money in there, or I'm tripping. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing every day because I don't have this much money in the savings account. But I'm learning over time that, okay, you have to invest your money. Your money has to work for you. So I have learned that over time, and continuing to do that. So knowing that, yes, you need to have money saved. Yes, you need to have money saved in case of a emergency. You need to have money saved in case, you know, you lose your job or whatever, you still can function and do all those things. So over time, I've learned that yes, saving is important, but you also need to be maxing out your retirement contributions. So you have that. You also need to be investing in the stock market so that you have other things. Maybe you need some CDs or other things that you can have, but you also need to be investing in 529 plans for your kids to go to college and all that kind of stuff, and making sure that they have their own investment portfolios. You know, and our kids are entrepreneurs too. So everybody has their own thing that they're doing that they can save money. Mason has his jars. He's got a fun jar and a future jar, right? So trying to teach your kids the things that your parents may not have taught you. So I guess that's the biggest thing for me. Nobody taught me about financial literacy. Nobody taught me the importance of saving or your 401k or making sure that you're making these decisions. So now I'm trying to make sure that as we're raising our kids, that they're learning those things so that they're not trying to figure it out on their own when they get older or when they're in college and every credit card company is trying to give you a free t-shirt. Like, oh, sign up for this credit card. I mean, I had all the t-shirts and all the cards.
Yeah, all the cards.
All the cards. So that they don't make those same financial mistakes, you know, that we made when we were growing up.
Yeah. I mean, you've always been great with in terms of savings, babe. So, you know, you're a saver by nature. And I love that because you balance me out, because I'll put everything in the stock market. She's like, no.
They go, this $5.
I'll invest everything. And so we'll figure it out, but it's good balance there. No, ladies, this has been really, really helpful in terms of like just hearing your stories, your journey from a financial standpoint. I know we've been on this call for a while now. So we just want to wrap up with bringing it back to the collective and what is next for Forward 2 Collective.
That's a loaded question. So we are still building what's next, right? So we have some real introspective work we're going to complete over the summer, some retreats so we can actually chart our course for the future. But the one thing is that we're going to be here. It's a movement that people should be in tuned in now, because I think 5 years from now, the 42 Collective might be like on the same level of like, you know, Oprah or somebody, like a household name.
New level.
It's
going to be, I think, more than we imagine. I think that we're going to spend the next couple of months trying to kind of chart out what we think, and then we're going to let God kind of take us on that next journey. But you can expect conferences and podcasts and us just being visible and impactful. But we want to, again, we want to leave an impact, and we want to provide a safe space for women to come and get their cups filled so we can go back to our individual spaces and communities and churches and just be our best selves. So there's more to come. That's a little teaser. It's like to be continued.
All right. All right. Well, I hope we can come back and talk about that future in the near future.
Yeah.
To see what's going on with the collective and how all you are doing and how your chairs are impacting the various rooms that you sit in. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that in the future. All right, for those who want to connect with any of you individually or collectively, what is the best way for someone who's listening right now to get in contact with you? I'll start with Miss Ashley.
So you can follow me on Facebook, Ashley Bush. You can follow my business page, The Curated Creatives, or you can follow my personal Instagram, Foxy26. Also, the Curated Creatives email is thecuratedcreatives@gmail.com.
All right. Ms. Kwan.
You can follow me on Instagram at Kwan32. My page is public. Also, you can check us out on, we're still building, as Justia said, but we do have an Instagram, the Fortitude Collective on IG. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Taquanda Hill.
All right. Thank you. Tamika.
You can follow me on Facebook at Tamika Wagstaff. You can follow my business account, Beyond Boundaries 585, on Facebook or on Instagram.
All right. Ms. Jasia.
Yes. And I am Sia the Lawyer. And that's spelled right. C-I-A-D-A Lawyer on Instagram. And yeah, that's where I'm at on Instagram.
Okay, cool. Anybody on LinkedIn?
Yes, I'm on LinkedIn. All this professional talking. Nobody said we on LinkedIn.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody's on LinkedIn.
Everybody. We're all on LinkedIn.
Full name.
So if they want to connect with you on LinkedIn, it's all good.
Yeah.
All good. Yeah. All good. All right, ladies. Anything else? Any last bit of wisdom or nugget before we wrap up?
Thank you for having us. We appreciate this forum to kind of spread some more information about the Fortitude Collective. And ultimately, like, we all contain everything we need to go to the next step. So it's already within us. We just got to tap into it. And you got to get connected to the right people who can help bring out the best in you.
And don't be afraid to bring your chair. Yes.
Bring it. Drag it. Carry it.
And own make your a space.
Own your space.
Yep.
Yes. Make it, own it, bring it, the whole nine yards. Thank you, ladies, so much. This has been super interesting. I think this is the longest podcast I've had in 2 years. But this is monumental. This is going down in the record books here. So
That's right. Yes.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Hi again. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to another episode of the Live Long and Prosper podcast. As always, I hope that this podcast is adding a tremendous amount of value to you, your loved ones, and the community at large. Please, if you have not done so already, remember to subscribe to this podcast just to make sure you get all the latest notifications when we have a new episode. And if this is adding value to your life, as we hope it is, please share it with as many people as you think it will serve. Until the next time, everyone, live long and prosper.